Chuck Schumer panders from a new angle. A Cirrus crash in Brazil is blamed on a tank full of Jet A. And another 777 fails to respond to a throttle command. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, March 4th, 2008. U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, General Aviation's nightmare from New York, now says the Transportation Security Administration isn't doing enough to properly check out foreign students training at U.S. flight schools. TSA vehemently denies that charge. The Democrat made his allegations in the Sunday edition of Newsday. Schumer referred only to an internal report and said the TSA's failure to conduct background checks on foreign students, quote, is 9/11, or at least the failure that led up to 9/11, all over again, unquote. Schumer has been fixated on small aircraft as a terrorist threat, despite evidence they'd be a poor choice for terrorists. He supported mandatory criminal background checks for all flight school students training in New York State, a law which was passed by the state but later struck down in a federal court. TSA spokesman John Allen says TSA is doing its job, has conducted over 8,000 inspections at flight schools, and works with Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents to make sure only legal, documented students are training at those facilities. Schumer claims over 8,000 foreign student pilots haven't been properly checked, but were still able to enroll and earn pilot licenses. Schumer has sent a letter to FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill and TSA Chief Kip Hawley, calling for an audit of the backgrounds and stiffer fines for schools that knowingly attempt to circumvent the process. And he still wants background checks on all flight school applicants. In the days before turbocharged piston singles became a common sight on flight lines in the U.S., there were plenty of anecdotes about careless linemen seeing the word turbo on the cowl and fueling the piston planes with Jet A instead of Avgas. After aerobatic legend Bob Hoover was seriously injured in a crash caused by misfueling, he developed and promoted what became known as the Hoover nozzle and Hoover ring, a system which prevented Avgas planes equipped with the ring from accepting the nozzle on a Jet A pump. That nozzle is now required by the FAA on jet fuel pumps. On Sunday morning, a 2006 Cirrus SR22 G3 turbo crashed moments after takeoff from an airport west of Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Four people on board died when the plane hit the upper floors of a condominium. According to local news reports and information from the Cirrus Owners and Pilots Association, a lineman told authorities he accidentally fueled the aircraft with Jet A, apparently thrown off by the turbo emblems on the aircraft, just before it took off. The investigation continues. ANN will keep you posted. American Airlines has grounded one of its 777-200s following a reported auto-throttle problem last week as the aircraft approached to land at Los Angeles International Airport. Air Business Travel News reports that Flight 299 from Miami to LAX experienced slow engine response to auto-throttle inputs on February 28th as the aircraft descended through 2,000 feet. While the problem sounds much like one encountered by a British Airways 777 on approach to Heathrow in January, there are differences. The earlier case saw both engines fail about 8 seconds apart. In the case of the American Airlines flight, the right engine continued functioning normally. Rolls-Royce says the flight data recorders confirmed the events were different. Investigators in the British incident have not identified a cause, but say they have ruled out water or other fuel contaminants. At least 10 people are confirmed lost after a United Nations helicopter crashed Monday in a mountainous region of eastern Nepal. Weather conditions were reportedly poor, with rain showers canceling several commercial flights in the country. Witnesses said the Russian-made Mil-17 was hit by lightning just before the accident. Rescue and recovery efforts were hampered by low clouds and rain. The United Nations says 7 UN personnel and 3 crew members were on board. The government of Nepal says there were as many as 12 souls on board. The UN has sent observers to Nepal to monitor a peace agreement between former Maoist rebels and the government and to assist in upcoming elections. Up next on ANN, the FAA offers to settle with NIMBYs in Florida's Martin County. Virgin Atlantic partners with Rolls-Royce to reduce carbon emissions. And the C-MAX Amphibian is now officially an LSA. You're listening to Aero News.
Do you think the only time your certified airplane can be equipped with a full emergency airframe parachute recovery system is when it rolls off the production line? Well, think again. BRS is the aftermarket leader in providing full airframe recovery parachutes for certified airplanes like yours. We manufacture the reliable parachute systems you need for a full range of aircraft, including Cessna. For your own safety and for that of your family members and loved ones, get the extra life assurance of a BRS airframe recovery parachute. In the event of an emergency, you'll never question the security of having one final option. Call BRS at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 4th, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. In the long-running NIMBY battle between Florida's Martin County and the Federal Aviation Administration, a Denver attorney representing the county is recommending the county accept a settlement with the FAA rather than file a lawsuit against the feds. At issue is Witham Field, where nearby development has left runway 1230 without adequate overrun safety buffers. The FAA has claimed that previous federal development grants give it control of adjacent land where a golf course, a YMCA, and the Monterey Commons office park are located. In 1998, the runway was extended, which required bulldozing homes to allow meeting the FAA's overrun protection minimums. The county has balked at that, and a decade-long dispute has resulted. Now, according to a report in the Stewart News, attorney Peter Kirsch suggests his client, the county, accept an FAA compromise, under which safety zones would be rolled back to 1998 requirements, but both ends of the runway would be equipped with an engineered material arresting system. The FAA would bring all but 2.5% of the $7 million required for construction, leaving ongoing county expenses estimated at $5,000 per year for maintenance. The compromise would still require moving 7 homes, down from 25 currently targeted, and the FAA has invited the county to apply for FAA funds to buy the homes. Or, says Kirsch, budget $2 million for the lawsuit, which he believes could succeed. The FAA compromise was presented to area residents at a public workshop on Friday. There's no word yet on when Martin County might formally consider the proposal. On Monday, Rolls-Royce announced a $2.6 billion order for its Trent 1000 engines and associated services from Virgin Atlantic. The company also announced an environmental partnership with the airline to cut carbon emissions. The Trent 1000 is the launch engine for all versions of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, scheduled to enter service in 2009. The Virgin order includes Trent 1000s to power up to 43 Boeing 787s, plus a full-life Total Care Services agreement. Virgin Atlantic is slated to take delivery of its first 787 in 2011. Rolls-Royce claims the Trent-powered Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner will burn almost 30% less fuel than previous generation airliners, resulting in an equivalent reduction in carbon emissions. Sir Richard Branson, president of Virgin Atlantic, says the environmental partnership, quote, will also bring major benefits to the aviation industry, enabling us to work together on researching and developing the most efficient engines in the sky and continuously improving the fuel burn of our fleet of aircraft, unquote. Virgin placed its order with Boeing for the 787s last April. C-MAX USA told ANN Monday its amphibious aircraft is now a certified special light sport aircraft and has been delivered to its first U.S. customer. The presentation to Jay Cutler of Canton, Ohio, followed more than a year's work by C-MAX USA and AirMax, the Brazilian designer and manufacturer, to document compliance with ASTM standards. The company believes C-MAX is the first ASTM-compliant flying boat to reach a U.S. customer. In addition to other models it produces, AirMax reported delivering 33 C-MAX amphibs worldwide in 2007. C-MAX uses electric, retractable landing gear. There are 73 of the aircraft flying around the world, and C-MAX USA director Carlos Bessa says the company is ready for summertime in the U.S. Quote, we will have aircraft for pilots wishing to enjoy float flying this summer, unquote. Company specifications include stall at 36 miles per hour with electric flaps, cruise at 115 miles per hour using less than 4 gallons per hour of premium auto gas or 100 low lead, climb at 1,000 feet per minute, and lift off from water in 350 feet. The aircraft will be displayed at this month's Florida Aviation Expo in Punta Gorda and next month at Lakeland. After a fairly successful 2008 event, the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo will be held a week later next year, January 22nd through the 25th. Organizers say they need to change dates to avoid conflicts with racing activities at Sebring International Raceway, which is next door to the airport. This year's fourth annual event came off well despite uncharacteristically cool temperatures and some rain. Aircraft on display included fixed wing, weight shift trikes, powered parachutes, motor gliders, and gyroplanes. Over 150 exhibits included aircraft, accessories, and support services. According to local media reports, Expo boss Robert Wood noted, quote, "We were very pleased with exhibitor turnout at our event in January 2008, despite the inclement weather, which limited demonstration flights. We understand that quite a number of aircraft were sold," unquote. Still ahead, a UAV guidance company is bought out by Rockwell Collins. Presidential candidates tell Texans their positions on NASA. And Honda Aircraft explains how sales and service will work in Mexico and Canada. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, March 4th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. If you needed proof that unmanned aerial vehicles are being taken seriously, Rockwell Collins says it's acquiring Athena Technologies because it represents a growth opportunity. Athena develops and provides flight control and navigation solutions primarily to the UAV market. Terms of the agreement were not disclosed. Rockwell CEO Clay Jones said, quote, "We look forward to integrating our combined capabilities to bring new control solutions to both military and commercial market segments," unquote. The transaction is expected to be completed in about 30 days, pending regulatory approval. The acquisition is expected to have no impact on Rockwell Collins' fiscal year 2008 earnings. Athena Technologies was founded in 1998, and produces the GuideStar family of flight control systems for commercial aircraft, UAVs, target drones, and missiles. The company has its headquarters in Northern Virginia. A sidebar to the stories in the general media about today's Texas presidential primary is the attention the campaigning has drawn to NASA. The policies of the next president are important to Texas voters, and the topic is one of the few on which the candidates have relatively distinct differences. The Houston Chronicle Monday summarized the positions of the various campaigns for its readers, and here in a nutshell is what they've been saying in their stump speeches. On the Democrat side, Hillary Clinton recently told the Houston Chronicle that as a young girl, she wanted to become an astronaut, but received a letter back from NASA at the time saying, quote, "They weren't taking any girls," unquote. Mrs. Clinton says she wants to pursue an ambitious space agenda, recently voted in favor of a Senate bill to add $1 billion to NASA's 2008 budget, and claims former U.S. Senator John Glenn as an advisor. Barack Obama has been working to clarify his policy after he originally said he wanted to delay NASA's Constellation program by 5 years to divert money to education programs, then said he wanted to reduce the 5-year span currently planned between the retirement of the shuttle fleet in 2010 and the first flights of Orion in 2015. He now says he wants to develop Orion on or ahead of schedule, but delay sending humans to Mars or back to the moon to save money. The Clinton campaign is trying to paint that position as inconsistent. Among the Republicans, Mike Huckabee says we should allocate another $2 billion to shorten the gap between the shuttle fleet's retirement and Orion's first flight by 2 years. Congressman Ron Paul, whose presidential campaign has been ignored in much of the eastern U.S., but who is hugely popular in Texas, says we could do more for NASA if we weren't spending so much money overseas. Arizona Senator John McCain says NASA needs to do a better job prioritizing its expenditures, but calls investment in manned spaceflight very important. He admitted to the Chronicle that he's been, quote, very enamored of Mars since I was a child, unquote. When, as late-night comedians will point out, the red planet was still in its cooling phase. Honda Aircraft Company announced on Monday its sales and service plans to serve Mexico and Canada. Honda Jet retail sales and service for Mexico will be provided by Servicios Aéreos Estrella, located at Mexico City's Toluca International Airport. SAE will establish a new HondaJet sales and service facility and begin taking customer orders immediately. First deliveries of the HondaJet are expected in Mexico in 2012. In conjunction with the expansion, Honda received a fractional order for 10 units of HondaJet from Aerolíneas Ejecutivas. The planes will be added to the company's MexJet charter fleet and delivered beginning in 2012. Honda Aircraft Company also announced it has opened HondaJet sales to Canada, with all sales to be handled directly from the company's headquarters in Greensboro, North Carolina. Service support for Canadian customers will be provided through the facilities closest to each customer's location. Honda began U.S. sales of the HondaJet in October of 2006 and claims orders so far for well over 100 units. And finally, the explosion of video-enabled mobile phones and a way to get the resulting clips onto the internet pretty much guarantees that all of us will have an embarrassing moment revealed to the world at some point in our lives. Across Europe over the weekend, a storm called Emma brought Category 3 hurricane-strength winds, which closed many airports, but Hamburg, Germany remained open. On Saturday, an amateur videographer caught a grainy recording of a Lufthansa A320 arriving from Munich on final approach at an almost unbelievable crab angle as the pilot battled a gusty crosswind. As the pilot tried to line up with a runway centerline just before touchdown, the video shows the plane's right wing suddenly blown upward and the left wingtip grazing the runway surface just as the pilot powers up for a go-around. The pilot, said to be a 17-year Lufthansa veteran, reportedly requested an alternate runway and got his 131 passengers safely on the ground 10 minutes later. After minor repairs to the left winglet, the plane was returned to service. Whether the video is good news or bad news for Lufthansa and the industry depends on where you look. Some non-aviation media outlets sensationalized their coverage. CNN said the airliner, quote, nearly crash-landed, unquote. Bloomberg reported the plane, quote, almost crashed, unquote. Is that like being, quote, almost pregnant, unquote? To its credit, CBS News used the correct noun, incident, not accident, and said only that a wingtip grazed or scraped the runway. CBS also spoke with Axel Rabb, an air traffic control official, who credited the pilot with, quote, a very professional maneuver, unquote. Germany's Federal Bureau of Aircraft Accidents Investigation told CBS it wants to know why the runway in question was being used for the first landing attempt, when another runway offered an approach nearly straight into the wind. But what I want to know is, who is this German guy with a camera phone, and what's his life like? I mean, who spends the weekend under a runway approach in hurricane-force winds? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear from representatives of PASS, the Professional Aviation Safety Specialists. That's the union representing the folks who install, test, maintain, and repair the air traffic control infrastructure. And if you haven't done so yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.